Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. And Toni is here to speak with us this afternoon about her experience of participating in the Mornings with the Mentor opportunity, the coaching calls. Thanks for being with us, Toni.
I'm so happy to be here, yes.
You know, Toni, I was thinking today that we so often hear before these coaching, the group coaching sessions start, we hear them advertised in open air and then you know, they just fade away and we never know what happened unless we're one of the few lucky folks who got to participate in the opportunity. And there have been so many rave reviews that have come in about a number of the group coaching sessions lately that we thought it would be fun for all of us to get to hear about it and hear your experience in particular.
Yes. Well, I could talk for 2 hours or 2 days probably. I just loved it so much. I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and I jumped on it. As soon as I got the email it was going to be offered, I registered probably within 3 days.
I did not want
to miss it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those, it's been around, you know, wait, and then it comes, and you just think, you know what, I'm not going to hesitate, I'm just doing it. Go.
Yes, that was my experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because mornings have tended to be pretty challenging for me and got to hear from other people on the coaching calls that it's challenging for a number of people. So
yeah, I was going to say, I wish this was one of those forums where we could say, anyone else had challenging mornings? We could see a show of hands because likely it would be darn near all of us. Yeah,
which is, it's so great. It really just right off, it helps with that, oh, I'm the only one, and, you know, I'm so messed up, and all that kind of stuff. So right off, you know, that gets dispelled when there's all these other people that are part of the group coaching that are also finding mornings challenging. So that just right off really helps a lot.
Yeah, right off the bat, that's a real assistance to realize, if, you know, we're not alone in this. We're all dealing with the same, with similar things. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, but I mean, I can say it truly has transformed my mornings, and which has then extended onto the rest of the day and onto the evening. Yeah. So I went from tending to wake up very groggy, which makes it hard. It's hard to really disidentify when I'm so groggy. And I was recording before this, but the recordings were, okay, mentor, I'm just so sleepy. It's like, help me, you know, get awake, help me get going, help me get through the day. And now, and during the program, what I got to was, I'm waking up, and the first thing I hear every morning is, what would it be like to wake up every morning with someone who loves you unconditionally? Mm. Now, that's like the first thing I hear every morning.
Because you've recorded it.
Because I've recorded it from doing the program. And it's like the first recording. I know exactly where it is. I can find it when I'm like half asleep. I know where this recording is. I can find it. And it's just hearing that. And then, of course, there's more to the recording. But just to go from this groggy, oh, my gosh, this, you know, to just right off, we're looking at unconditional love. We're taking in unconditional love. First thing, it just totally transforms everything.
And you know what's amazing about that, really, and especially, I'm just picturing my own experience, Toni, especially in the morning, is to wake up into that, however it is completely all right. You know?
Yes.
Because we don't really know what we're going to wake up into, right? I mean, did we sleep a lot? Did we sleep a little? Did we sleep, quote, well? Did we, quote, not sleep well? You know, whatever it is. You know, what are the voices up to? What, you know, what's their plan for the day? We don't really know. But to wake up into that unconditional love, however it is, that's completely all right because we're here together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's just so beautiful to really feel that, because I felt like through the recordings and the program, I could really feel the mentor's presence and could really cultivate and feel like I was loved unconditionally.
Wow. That is so huge, isn't it?
It is. It is. I think I've spent my whole life, you know, looking for that. And
yeah.
then here it is, right here in this little black box.
Exactly. Yes, exactly so. And, you know, what I love about what you're describing is that it's one thing to know it, to have that information, because anyone who's been around practice for any length of time could tell you that, right? I mean, intellectually, we have that information. But it's completely different to have the experience of it. And from what you're describing, something like a group coaching process allows us to go from an idea to an experience, which is really where the practice of it comes alive, is in the experience of it.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Yes, to have these calls where we're being facilitated, and that was just so awesome to be facilitated mm-hmm. and hear other people's experiences and to be feel like I'm receiving that unconditional love on the coaching calls
right.
and to be able to then apply it to myself
right.
and into the mornings, which are such yeah. a difficult time, is
yeah.
really huge.
It is huge. You know, and the parallel I just saw with that, Tony, is the place that we often talk about that so makes practicing with Sangha so important and so helpful, which is that, like you started with, we get to see, oh, I'm not the only one having this experience. And very often, because we're really seeing people's authenticity, it's so much on the surface when we're practicing together, what we project onto people is goodness and sincerity, and we love them, right? And we want the best for them. And here are these people who I love, and I just think all good things about them, and I really struggle in the morning. And so we begin to have that, oh, well, if I can really love that person unconditionally and see there's nothing wrong with that person and they struggle in the morning, hey, that could apply here too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's so fun because, you know, as you described that getting to experience the unconditional love on the calls, both I would project from, you know, feeling that from the facilitator, projecting that onto the facilitator, onto the fellow, you know, the other people who are in the call, and then because we have an experience of that, then there we can take that process, you know, which we're in the middle of an email class right now, and Sherry's giving us so much encouragement to always bring it back to look at the process of what goes on for that, for us in that, and then we can practice that process.
Yes, practice that process of unconditional love.
Yeah.
And it was so helpful to have, because each week we would make a commitment, so to have like commitments and even suggestions of ways to really support ourselves in that process, I found that really helpful.
Mm-hmm. So you would get to each week, get to choose something, like a particular way you wanted to work with it, that sort of thing?
Yes, yes. Like, since mornings were so difficult, then I was offered to make the recording the night before when I'm not so groggy. And it seems like such an obvious thing to do, but I hadn't really done that so much, and it made a huge difference to have this really strong recording to wake up to.
Yeah. Yes. It's so much fun, isn't it?
It is. I just loved it. Yeah, I'm already like, okay, when it's offered again, I'm going to do it again.
Exactly. Exactly, because I've already done that. No way. You know, no way. When something is that transformative, we just want to do it again and again to go deeper and deeper with it.
Yeah, because it makes I found it made such a difference to have the mornings, to wake up in this unconditional love. Then I can tap into that during the day because I'll get identified or I'll start going off with conditioning. I can cut. Felt like it was easier to come back to that unconditional love, having had such a great experience of it first thing in the morning.
That's such an excellent point, Tony. Such a good point. And, you know, as you say that, I mean, this seems like another obvious point, but I'm not sure I'd ever really seen it this way. It makes so much sense then why that's often a time when the voices come at us so strongly, you know, with that idea that, well, if we can get her off center, you know, if we can start her off on the wrong foot, then likely we'll have her in our pocket all day.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So the reverse being so as well. If we truly practice, if we learn that skill, that muscle, to begin the day with a mentor, it really ups our chances of living our whole day in that place.
That's sure been my, that was sure my experience, and continues to be my experience.
Yeah. Boy, and that's a testament right there, both to the strength of that practice opportunity and to your own willingness to practice it, because that's so big to be able to have, even after the program has ended, to be able to continue to carry it with you. It's really important.
Well, yes, it's become like I don't go a day without meditating. I don't go a day without, or the morning without yoga. So now I don't go a day without having this quality morning with a mentor time.
Wow. Oh, I can just hear conditioning hating it. Yeah. That is so big, Tony. That is so big. Just over time, we get to, it really reminds me of the big bamboozle assignment that we're on this week of getting to, you know, sleep when we're tired, eat when we're hungry, and that the assignment is to practice that miracle this week. And that as you were talking, I was just seeing how that's what practice is that over time, we're taking over the entire territory of our lives. So life gets to have the whole life. Conditioning doesn't get to have any of it. And so we sit every day. We take care of the body every day. We take care of the human every day. We're checking in with a mentor every, you know, all of those things that are the life processes become, you know, all of our entire life.
Yes. Yes. That's what I want.
Me too. Me too. Me too. Yeah, and it's amazing, isn't it, how it starts with that one simple yes. There's the practice opportunity. Yes, I'm going to do it and sign up. And it all springs from that.
Yes, it's really awesome. I highly recommend it to anyone who has troubles in the morning or wants to really up their recording and listening practice or their mentoring. It really significantly helpful to me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that experience with us tonight on the show, because I think it'd probably be really helpful to lots of folks.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for this opportunity, and I really appreciate the program, and yes.
Yeah, it's good. As Michael and Sherry are always saying, we're lucky people.
Yes, very, very lucky.
All right, good. Thanks for being with us, Tony. Take good care.
All righty. Thank you, Jan. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Tony. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. Enjoying practice.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I enjoyed that conversation. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. I hope people will avail themselves of that, that kind of coaching opportunity, because as Tony was indicating, it really is a unique opportunity. It will definitely either jumpstart or accelerate a recording and listening practice, and the being able to do it with other folks in Sangha is really makes it unique. You know, there are other things that we can do with recording and listening, but that particular group coaching is really a unique opportunity, very, very helpful. And I have heard that rumor, too, that mornings are difficult for an awful lot of people. We're so vulnerable at that time,
yes.
That groggy, sleepy, came out of dreams that might be anything under the sun, and then here we are, you know, we're going to face today. And those voices in conditioned mind got there ahead of us. So having that kind of tool, as Tony said, you know, she can find that recording half asleep. And that's what we need. That's the kind of support we need. So, yeah, hope people will take advantage of it the next time it's offered.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements here, Sherry. Should I jump into those?
You do. Yes, please.
And speaking of group coaching, Practicing Presence with Food, a new group coaching opportunity beginning November 30th will provide support for making and keeping commitments around food, especially during the holiday season.
Now, if we think mornings are challenging, how about that one, huh? How about food and especially the holidays? Good grief. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. So don't miss this opportunity to practice keeping celebrations joyful.
Mm-hmm. And healthy.
And healthy, yes. And those two seem to go together, joyful and healthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point, Michael. If it's not healthy, it's probably not going to be too joyful, is it? Yeah, it might be something else that people would call a good time, but it's not going to be joyful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class on communication? If so, send it to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org to be shared with Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program.
That and puts a little pressure on to say something quote-worthy. I don't know there. All right.
No pressure, Sherry.
No pressure.
Our annual New Year's retreat in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, features meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This popular retreat, which runs from December 27th to January 1st, is a great way to celebrate a year of awareness practice and ring in a new beginning with Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these and all
sorry, Michael, I thought maybe you had another sentence on that because I want to do a commercial for that. You know, there are so many people in coaching, in all different kinds of coaching opportunities. There are people that we talk to on the radio show all the time who say, you know, this is the first time I've called in. And I've been listening to the radio show for years, but I've never actually, you know, that kind of thing. The New Year's retreat is one of those things where if you're thinking, oh, I would, you know, I just would like to do a retreat, or I'd like to be more involved with Sangha, or whatever that little urge is, that is an ideal retreat to join us for. It really is. It's such a good time. It's so geared toward everybody. I mean, we have people who, you know, this is the first thing they've ever done with practice, period. Not just our practice, any practice, to people who have been practicing for 40 years. And everybody is just right there together. And, well, you will attest to that, huh? It is a good time. So that's my commercial for join us for that retreat.
Yes. And as you say, my experience of practice, by its nature, is that it's so inclusive. Whether I've been practicing for 40 years or I picked up a book yesterday, and just by its nature of that unconditional love and acceptance, it just brings us all right together.
Yeah, yep. And so if anybody's listening to voices and say, oh, well, you know, and you don't know, and they're not going to, you're not going to understand, and you're not going to fit in, and all that, what we call crapola, of course, then just set that aside and do what Tony did, which is just get right there and say, ooh, that's for me, and sign up.
Yes.
Because it does fill up. And so I always just want to encourage people that if you're thinking about doing it, don't wait, because you don't want to miss out.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that practice opportunity and all other practice opportunities, visit the livingcompassion.org webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're ready, Sherry.
I think so. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Okay. Oh, let's see. I think... Come on. There we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Rita. I'm from Ottawa.
Well, hello, Rita. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. This is my first time calling into the show.
Well, welcome, welcome. tell us what's going on in the world of Rita.
Okay. Well, what's happening for me is that I'm finding that, so I'm caught up in a process of suffering at work. And I'm noticing that by using some of the tools that I've been working with my coach and also from what I've been hearing on the radio show, there are times when I'm not in suffering. Notice that I'm not in suffering. So there's kind of this bit of relief from suffering that I find kind of confusing when I think about the job as a whole. Can I give a bit more content?
Sure.
Okay. So I just started teaching a couple of years ago, and I found that almost as soon as I started teaching, I got a lot of body symptoms, sort of chronic neck pain, weight gain that my doctor thinks is related to stress and disrupted sleep and things like that. And what feels like has sort of made it bearable is practice. And particularly practicing being grateful, really focusing on trying to be present during the day, even as I'm being bombarded with, you know, what feels like many demands. I project many demands spoken and kind of unspoken from students and administration and all of these different areas. And, yeah, I guess I'm just wondering if you have anything that drops in for you around that. Yeah.
Well, tell me about confusing.
I guess I was just actually, the confusion was I was just actually listening to an archive of a couple of weeks ago where what I heard was you having a discussion with another caller about people suffering at work and feeling like they can't leave a particular situation. And I guess that question keeps coming up for me if, you know, if I'm experiencing all these body symptoms and lots of suffering at work, is it the question of is it the work or is it that, you know, because I do see some relief from suffering when I'm, you know, really on with recording and listening and able to be present throughout the day. So I think that's where the confusion is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. I think I'm with you now. So,
okay.
so when you experience the suffering is when you leave the present, and I'm going to guess, get into some conditioned conversations about what people expect of you and what they want, and it's too much, and you can't do it, and what is that? What's going on?
Absolutely, and how can I manage this, and how can I survive? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then, of course, you know, I'm a great supporter of, if you don't like that job, go get another one, right? Because I'm not in that club that says, now, if you're the right spiritual person, you'll stay in the most ungodly situation until you're, you know, most of us are not there yet. Okay. I mean, maybe someday we will be, but most of us are not there right now. And so if you can leave the job and go to another one, if you can leave the relationship, if you can leave the whatever it is that you're that you're suffering over, mm-hmm. then what tends to happen for us is we get to see what was the circumstance and what is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, which can be extremely clarifying and illuminating.
Right.
However, that said, what you're describing, it puts it the suffering pretty much at the feet of, no, because egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate doesn't have feet, but puts it squarely there in the camp of ego maintenance, right? Because when you're on with practice, when you're present, when you're recording and listening, when you're staying focused during the day and you are where you are and you're not caught up in that conversation, you're fine. When you get caught up in the conversation, then you start to suffer and all of these things happen. So that says to me that the odds are pretty good that this is being brought on by that ego maintenance system rather than by the actual circumstances at work. And one of the clues for me was when you said, and I can't remember exactly how you said it, but essentially it was real and imagined demands.
Mm-hmm.
From the students mm-hmm. and the administration. So there's, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, I really need an hour of your attention right now, or I need for you to get this work done by Friday, that's a real demand, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look at how you can do that. But when you're listening to voices in your head say, well, they want you to do this, or well, they're thinking that, or they think that you don't, then that's another whole area.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been complicated for me because I've done similar work before, but never where I'm in front of that number of people. And what I think is happening is that, you know, instead of projecting a story or whatever onto a couple of people, it's a class of 30, it's really ego. It's easy for me to buy into that there's all these people with all these demands, and what I actually was told by my massage therapist is that it's like I'm guarding my body.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. yes, and of course, now this is where I say you're not guarding your body against those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's against that conversation.
Mm.
Like, so. The, you know, what's so difficult for us is we can't tell the difference. Mm. Although the work that you're doing is going to enable you to tell the difference really quickly. So I have a boss, and the conversation in my head is, she is so demanding, so just nonstop, I can't do it. This is just too much pressure. I can't handle this. It's really unfair. I don't see why I have, okay? Now, I'm gonna shut down against that, right? Because it's an assault. I'm being battered. And if I'm not paying really close attention, I think the boss is doing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the boss actually isn't doing that to me. The conversation in my head is doing that to me. So if I were to get really gutsy and say, okay, well, the only thing that I'm going to pay attention to is what an actual person says out of their actual mouth. And then I'm going to reflect it to make sure that a voice in my head wasn't interpreting it.
Hmm.
Well, she said that, but what she really meant was, bop, 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 bop. Okay? What she said might be pretty benign, but by the time it's interpreted, then it's threatening. So that is, if you want to stay in the job, that's where I would encourage you to look. Because, yeah, it's true that you're shutting down and tensing muscles against.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's getting clear about exactly what you're tensing muscles against.
Okay, so practicing reflecting what I'm hearing to be clear about the expectation.
That's right. With real people who have real bodies and real mouths. The work that we're all doing with the voices in the head is ceasing to listen to them. We are replacing those conversations with conversations that we are making through a recording device and listening to, usually through earbuds, okay, because that conversation is the one that supports us. Right?
Okay.
So that the recordings I'm making are about what's true, what is so, I'm actually doing what, you know, all of those kinds of things. And they include a lot, you know, you're actually doing a great job. Did you take it in when he said, and complimented you on, and do you realize that the student, you know, let's not forget that, those are the conversations we want to be listening to all the time.
Absolutely. And yes, I just wanted to say that I have found that those types of practice activities, so I think, you know, I don't know that I would still be in this job without those kinds of practice activities for sure.
Yes. Yep. And of course, the other thing about that is, you know, we're told that if we get into another job, then these voices will go away. Ha. Huh.
Right.
They'll take up another campaign. Yeah, they'll take up another campaign, but they're not going to go away.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I say this often, and I don't know if anybody really appreciates the humor in it, but the way I'll phrase it is, we've been driven to awareness practice by this, right? And that's true with every single one of us, right? It was at that time when we went, okay, this really isn't working. I'm, you know. And so as a last resort, I'm going to look at what's going on instead of looking through what's going on.
Right.
So that kind of suffering really does drive us to practice, which is what I'm hearing. If you're going to stay in this job and not lose your mind or ruin your health, you're going to have to be practicing all the time, which makes this job an incredible gift.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll save you, right? It'll save you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Don't be a stranger now.
Okay, sounds great. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rita. Great to have a first-time caller on there, Sherry.
That's sure fun. Is. Very fun.
Yes. And we have another caller in the queue here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Nancy from Maryland.
Well, hello, Nancy. How are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to reach out. I haven't been able to call on many Tuesdays, and I wanted to connect. So that's part of the reason for tuning in this evening, and wanted to catch up from, I guess, the last time we spoke, which was in the summer.
Uh-huh. Well, what's been going on?
Well, I spent some time at the monastery this summer, and thank you. It was amazing. It was absolutely beyond thank you so much. I really don't have too many words. It showed me so many things, and still digesting.
It tends to have that effect on folks.
Indeed. I was a bit of a vagabond after I left. I did a bunch of traveling and visiting some doctors for some health concerns, and then lived with some friends and a family for some time, and was really interested to see and humbled very much so that I was living in a family where it was a lot of television and a lot of different eating perhaps than I was attempting to do myself, and trying to maintain a steady practice. And when I was being encouraged even to maybe not eat in a way that felt very healthy, or to, you know, when TVs were playing in every room pretty much, that was very difficult to get away from. And a real challenge to, again, just maintain a state of practice that I felt would maybe not be quite that hard to maintain.
Well, I will tell you this right now. I wouldn't expect myself to be able to maintain under those circumstances.
Well, that's a very telling thing for me, because of something that I saw from being at the monastery is how high my expectations are for myself. And really, a lot of the practice has just been being, you know, again, really, really compassionate with this person who's trying really hard to do a lot of things, and realizing that it's not about trying hard. It's actually really, really,
and it's especially not about setting up really challenging circumstances in that kind of a contest sort of a way.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I'll put myself in this situation that is really difficult and challenging, and then see how I do.
Right. And I think that I have I've seen myself make things more difficult than they need to be. And
my way of talking about that, of course, would be, you have watched egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate make things more difficult for you than they need to be. And, of course,
yes.
It does seem to be the function of that system to make everything as difficult for human beings as it can possibly do.
Yes, true that. Boy, howdy. Yes, I've found that It's been a joyful practice. I'm now in a place where I have a different situation, which is very, very good. Feels very healthy. It feels like sanctuary and healing, and it's given me more space to see a lot of this, which is so helpful and so compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really grateful for that. I'm noticing that I'm something that, actually, I was listening to the archives a couple days ago, and I was noticing that I've been doing a lot of research on some things to help me medically, and finding that there hasn't, well, I need to do this. Well, this is important. This is what I feel like is my job right now. There hasn't been a balance of where that begins and then where it ends. And I heard from one of the archives, something you said that really resonated, that was how much of your resources are spent in reaction to a perceived event in life.
Hmm.
And that really, that rang a bell. It was like, oh, okay, how much out of fear is this that I'm doing? And then how much is this actually right? This is what life is informing me to do right now. And so really, really working with that and looking at that very closely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And hopefully a lot of just kind of sitting still with that and letting the intelligence that animates in form, right?
Yes, yes. That's where I keep.
So that's the kind of question that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate loves to get hold of, right? Well, is it this or is it that? Is it, I mean, isn't that, and if you, that, but yeah, but you've got to, and pretty soon we realize, whoa, lots of resources going into that conversation about how much resource to put into that situation. You know, so it's kind of like, as we learn to disidentify, we learn to step back and see a little more and step back and see a little more. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate can step back too, right? So, okay, you saw that, but now what about this? have you really seen that? And we find ourselves kind of engaged in the same process.
Right. So just, yeah, dropping it all, coming back to the breath.
Yeah, coming back to the breath and giving life an opportunity to inform us, which is where we want to get that information, right?
Yes, yes. And I've seen that again and again, and that's what really encourages me in this life, period. Just
in this process we call life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting because it does come that way. It drops in and it's like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. here I am. Okay. Or mm-hmm. just drops in, here I am, I'm waking up and I'm...
Yeah. Or, oh, this is good. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And I'm loving the recording and listening part of my practice that is something that's been a real wonderful surprise. It's the music. I have a playlist. I have a music playlist that just, you know, that takes me straight into that loving heart space that, you know, it'll bring a little tear to my eye and I'm like, oh, yeah, there I am. There I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I find that in the mornings when I wake up, especially when I've been practicing a lot, a friend who's a kirtan master, he says, the chant remembers you. And it does. And sometimes in the morning I wake up and either a mantra or some beautiful song is greeting me in the morning. Just, and it's almost like it's kind of in the background. It's almost kind of like sometimes the voice of the conditioning would be waking me up saying, you know, not very nice things. But this is a whole different thing. It's like the voice of love is waking me up and it's, you know, it's subtle. It's very subtle. And then I tune in and I'm like, oh, wow. Wow. That's been a beautiful, beautiful surprise, is the music part of my practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. You know, I'm not particularly supportive of that myself, but that's good. I mean, if that's something that you enjoy, that's good. I'll tell you why I'm not particularly supportive of it, and that is because anything that we are dependent upon is a place where we're vulnerable. So that's the reason for that. That's why I would never encourage replacing the voice, one's voice, with music. Because to me they're not the same process. But that's the kind of thing that everybody has to practice with and look into and find out for themselves and make their own choice about it.
Well, I guess I find it's not so much a separate music as more of an inner music, where it's, I don't know, that's something to look at. But yes, I do realize that for certainly, that, you know, that there's sometimes that, you know, things can be used as a distraction as opposed to something that's helping me pay attention.
Well,
and that
a distraction or something one is dependent upon. So years ago, I met this woman who, I think it's called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And And we were talking about whatever we were talking about, and she said, well, you know what I do to center is put my hands in my pockets. And my just immediate, you know, what dropped in was, what if you don't have pockets? Or what if you don't have hands? So for me, you know, that you don't know, but that was my reason for pursuing awareness practice in the first place, is
wow.
wishing not to be dependent upon anything other than that which animates in this moment. So everything is geared toward that. Just this, just here, just now is all. And anything that would take me away from that would not be something that I would want to pursue. So I don't have stuff about what anybody else does, but on the heels of our Good News Update with Mornings with the Mentor and waking up with one's voice of unconditional love, when there's a presentation of music as an alternative to that, I'm going to need to step in and say, well, actually, that would not be my encouragement, because otherwise, down the road, somebody's going to say, well, you know, you said that listening to music was the same as, and so I just had to make that clear.
Oh, well, actually, what I don't think I made myself clear, because what I'm finding is that I don't wake up to music that is being played. I am waking up to a music that is happening inside myself.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a surprise. Sometimes it's not something I've listened to, but it is just there is in the background. There's something that is there for me in the morning that doesn't require me to do anything. I simply have been waking up with this loving music that's just there in myself, my brain, my whatever. So mm-hmm. yeah, not necessarily dependent on me playing music to get there, but it's happening spontaneously.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good. Well, lovely. It's lovely to hear that. Lovely to hear from you. Lovely to find out how you're doing.
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Take good care.
And
okay.
To you too. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Claire from London.
Well, hello, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
All right.
Yes, I'm just calling in because it's a while since I called in, really, and just to say, I thought it'd be nice to sort of just put it out there that I have constant voices in my ear saying that I'm incapable of loving anybody and I'm incapable of being grateful. And I'd just like to put it out there that I am capable of loving and I am capable of being grateful.
Uh-huh. And I bet you've been practicing long enough to know that those voices would only be saying that in the hopes that they could convince you and that you wouldn't notice that what they're saying is a projection, is true for them and not true for you.
I kind of know that intellectually, but I find it difficult not to believe it in practice. And that's really why I wanted to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. And so have you ever done reflective listening buddies or any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, I have done reflective listening buddies, but it was quite a while ago. I haven't done it lately.
But you have the technique down, right?
Yes.
So I want you to say that to me as the way you hear it, okay?
Oh, right, okay. The way I hear it is if I sort of feel any spontaneous feeling of gratitude or love towards somebody, I immediately get the voice saying, you're a hypocrite, you know, this isn't genuine, you're not sincere, you don't really feel that, you don't really love that person, you don't really...
Okay, so because I'm going to reflect,
yeah.
I would have to say, now wait just a minute now, let me make sure I got this right. So what you're saying is that I am a hypocrite, that I actually don't feel that way, that it's not true, that I don't really feel grateful or I don't really love that person. Did I get that right? Is that what you just projected?
So I'm
yeah. in you, right? So
yeah.
that voice says that in your head, and that would be a great response to that voice.
Yes.
Just as if it were another person, say on a reflective listening buddy's call, who said
yeah.
those things, and you're going to reflect every bit of it, and you're going to add the piece about projecting.
Yes.
So is that what you're projecting onto me? Did I get that? Did I miss any of that? It was hypocrite, right? You projected hypocrisy, and then you projected, yeah, like you're the world's slowest facilitator, and you can't understand what anybody is saying to you, so you have to really reflect it back to them that that's what they are saying.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every time. And then if you want to really add to the torture, here's one. You're walking along down the street and you see somebody and you say, oh, what a lovely person. I just love that person. They're so lovely and wonderful and bouncy and look so just lovely. And then just wait for the voice, right?
Yes.
Why are you saying that? That you don't mean that. That's not true. You're just making that up. You don't even know that person. Whoa. Now, wait. I don't want to miss any of this because you're expressing your opinion and you're projecting your reality. And so let me see. So what you're saying is you don't believe that I really feel that. Yeah. Make it long and drawn out and painful.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's not that nobody has a chance to project anything onto you without taking such a beating. Just because, you know, in the nicest, politest, most facilitator way, right? Mm-hmm. That they're just gonna want to stop talking to you about that. Not that they won't start talking to you about something else, but it's not going to be that, because it's just not getting them what they want.
Wow, that would be absolutely amazing. Thank you. Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun to do, because it takes us out of that victim position, which it is. I mean, somebody's, you know, just going after you. And it's really hard not to feel a little bad under the circumstances. But when we move into that facilitator role, it's just clear. You know, hey, you voice. That's your stuff. That doesn't have anything to do with me. I am the loving, grateful person over here. You've got all that stuff going on? Swell. I'll help you see it. But let's be clear. It doesn't have anything to do with me.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that gives me a lot to work on.
Yeah, well, yes, it's a lot to practice with, right? And, I mean, it's going to give you some stuff, you know, when you do it. But that's okay. As you know, the more you practice with it, the more you'll start having fun with it. And then you realize, whoa, I am not the quarry any longer. I am the hunter. Come on,
yes.
Voices. Come out and play. Come out and play with me. What do you want to project onto me now?
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You are welcome. You're going to call me back and let me know how it goes, right?
Oh, my gosh. I have to do that, don't I?
Yes. In the middle of the night, I have not lost sight of the fact that we're talking in the middle of your night and that you're a courageous person.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I got it.
Oh, I thought I'd lost you then. Yeah.
No, right here. All right. Well, get some rest, but not until after we, you know, the show is over. And then when next time that you've caught up on your sleep and you've got the voices thoroughly tortured, give me a call and tell me how it's going.
I will. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. Sherry, that's just classic, that drawn-out torture of the voices. I love that.
Wait.
Oh.
I don't want to miss any of what you're saying, because your opinion is so important for me.
Right. Yeah. In fact, wait. I'm going to get it on the recorder so that I can refer back to it often, and if you forget anything, I can play it for you. Yeah.
So helpful.
Taking it lying down.
Yes, exactly. And it's so perfect, because it, as you do that, you bring it out of the shadows and into the light.
Yeah. And it really does become a game. And as we know, ego cannot stand to be laughed at. And so that's what we're doing. I mean, that's what we're saying. You absurd, pathetic little force. You've had your way way, way, way too long. Those days are over. Come on, silly little thing. Yeah, instead of, no, it's going to come after me. It's going to ruin my life. Mm-hmm. It knows the truth about me. It's all going to come out. I have to face it. No. I'm not doing that.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you doing?
Completely shocked to get on.
Well, good. Shocked.
So I'm kind of ready. But so I'd just like to say hello first.
Well, hello.
got some adrenaline going, so there's, which tended to put my mind in kind of a chaos place. But
you want to take a minute and just take a minute and breathe?
Yeah. This is just who I am. This is just what I work with. I saw Kevin Henry this morning for the first time in probably 3 years, and he asked me to pass on regards if I happen to talk to you.
And to him, next time you see him.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, he's been a strong practice support for me in the past. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
good. It's good to remember to be grateful for those who have helped us along the path, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd like to look at recording and listening.
All right,
and,
me too.
well, I talked to you once before about having lost my recordings.
Yes.
And it happened again.
I remember.
My phone was stuck.
No.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, the Apple company assured me that it was all in the cloud, and I go in to get it downloaded, and it's gone. All my pictures, all my numbers.
Did you get a new phone by any chance?
I did get a new phone. But
yes, they're famous for that.
Yeah. You know, it's like I had this one recording where I had to drive across Ohio, and the entire way I just, yes, thank you, I love you, please. For, you know, so, you know, that was something I could just put on, and it would go for 2 hours.
Wow.
And it's gone.
Wow.
And
you're going to have to make that recording again.
Yeah, but I'm having a hard time doing it. I'm having a real hard time doing it.
Because?
It just, you know, I go to record and it's just blankness back. And, you know, so I started where I started before with the daily recollection. And I've got 7 recordings of it so far.
Well, that's good. And they're just one after the other?
Yeah, but, you know, the interesting thing about that is I've never made a perfect one. There's always a stutter someplace. There's always...
that's like life, right? I mean, I think that's perfect. That's what we get to realize. Perfect exists somewhere right in the front of conditioned mind, actually. And it's only there to torture us because, really, what in the universe would say... there is a perfect recording of the daily recollection.
Ah. But they are good companions. Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, you know, it fascinates me. I was just saying this to somebody in the email class, that if people have this thing going about being perfect, and they twist themselves into a knot trying to be perfect. And we all hate perfect people. Why would we want to be someone that everybody's going to hate? If we ever achieved perfection, we would be uniformly despised. Right? Everybody would just be hoping that we would fall on our face. That we would just make an absolute fool of ourselves, that we would drool in public or have spinach in our teeth or something. Because we can't stand perfect people. You know why we can't stand perfect people? Because everything in us knows how egocentric it is. It's the most egocentric thing in the world to want to be perfect.
Yeah.
Who would we be
for? Perfect is safe. It's safe. You know, it's like if I can just attain like this perfect.
But for who, Beth? Your ego.
My ego is the one who wants to be safe.
And so if it can get you to focus on trying to be perfect, then what that means is you're going to be focused on it all the time. hence the label egocentric.
Yeah, which is why I don't know what I want. Because
how did you get there? That was a leap.
Well, if I do things perfectly, then everybody around me is going to be content and happy. But that's only because
they're going to hate you. We've already established that.
Yeah, but they won't yell at me.
Sure they will. Oh, sure they will. Yeah, and you know, we all know this,
yes,
Beth. We all know this. Who are the people that we really like? You know, they're just regular, kind, good-hearted, flawed people like we want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and they get most things right, sort of,
well,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
we do.
Yeah.
But then we screw up and we forget stuff and we drop stuff and break stuff. And, you know, we're just regular, good-hearted people.
Yes. Getting older, you know, kind of that kind of stuff just happens more often.
More often than it used to, yes.
Yeah.
So, how about just instead of perfect, go for lovable? But people will be even nicer to you.
There are moments, and I've had, it's like I'll have weeks of no consciousness, pure misery. And then I'll have like moments like, you know, this morning I just had this lighthearted, liking everything and everybody and, you know, just kind of like how pretty the world is. And then 2 hours later, back down into, you know, what am I going to do? And
did you make a recording of how beautiful the world is? Because that would have been good,
That's the other thing about it, is my voice is getting worse. So I make these, it's like these old recordings where some of them were for like 2 or 3 years ago. And now it's just, I make a recording and I just hear my voice. And it's hard to stay present and not go into the future.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sure. But, I mean, we can do that anyway. You sound the same to me for what it's worth. But
thank you.
You know, yeah. Yeah, and we could. I mean, yeah, well, the future isn't good for any of us, is it, really, if we want to go into the future from that perspective?
And,
it's not going to end well for any of us. Yeah.
No, it's not. And I don't know my future. I don't know.
the thing about that is, Beth, it can end well for us. It can end well for us if in the moment that it ends, we're in a place of well-being.
Ah, okay, in the 2 minutes that are left, I'd like to just kind of, what kind of came up with me when you said that. I had an opportunity to go with a friend to Standing Rock for a week. And part of that experience was, you know, no technology. It was all being blocked. There was no cell phone. There was no, you know, Wi-Fi. So, and no clocks.
Wow.
Nobody knew
Fabulous.
What time it was. We just, And it was the closest I've been to the monastery since I left. And found a, you know, tremendously rich, you know, just the people that are drawn there, just, you know, just wanting to live a life of intention, and the, you know, the prayerful and the humble attitude, something I, you know, want to get behind, and I'm very grateful for that experience. And kind of, but it was easy to kind of find that sense of well-being.
There you go.
In that simplified life. I've complicated my life so much that it's hard to find that sense of well-being in a complicated life.
Well, yes, and you know, there's to me, there's the other aspect of, as you said, you are really connected to a lot of folks who were attempting to be in that same place of presence and loving kindness and generosity and gratitude and
stillness, quiet.
The stillness. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the joy I find in being a scullery maid, which was something, you know, I got at the monastery. You know, I started my scullery maid life when I was there. And so the entire time it was kind of just, you know, I've been practicing working meditations for 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a...
And you're getting good at it. Not perfect.
Yeah, not perfect.
Uh-huh.
The moments of hell are getting more hellish, but the moments of well-being are getting stronger.
And you know what? That I would say, if there were such a thing, you're having the right experience. Because it's only when the experiences of well-being are getting stronger that the hellishness has to assert itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something good to consider.
It just brings me again to the miraculous place of being able to say thank you.
Yes, please. Thank you. I love you.
Again and yet again, may it be so.
Yeah. Take care of yourself and don't be such a stranger, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm here every Tuesday night, whether I get on or not.
All right. Well, good. All right. So I know that. I just don't know you're there. All right. Now I'll just assume you're there. If I'm going to assume anything, that's what I'll assume.
It's become a habit.
All right. Well, take care, Beth.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And thank you, Sherry, for another wonderful show. It's a real privilege.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's a good time, isn't it?
It's a great time. Invaluable, precious, wonderful. All of that.
Mm-hmm. All of that. All right. Let's do it again.
Okay, perfect. Talk with you next week.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.